Well, it's Girl Scout cookie season.
Yeah, I got suckered into 12 boxes.
Big Money Sam, all the podcast reviews coming in.
All my 5-star review money, that's what I donated it back.
Blew it all on Thin Mints.
Yeah, it's a good cause.
What'd you say your favorite Girl Scout cookie was?
Tagalongs.
What's that one again?
The peanut butter patty, they call them now.
That's what it used to be, was peanut butter patties?
No, they used to be called Tagalongs. Now they're called peanut butter patties. Oh,
was Tagalong offensive?
I don't know.
Must have been to somebody.
I don't know.
Because they're not called Samoas anymore, right? They're called something else.
Samoas.
Coconut Surprise or whatever?
Coconut Delights or something.
Yeah, Coconut Delights or whatever they are now. I'm not sure. Samoas. I don't know. I don't like those. It's coconut. Yeah. It's gross.
They're all right.
Yeah, wait till you get to be like 40.
It's not a bad Girl Scout cookie, though.
Once you cross the 40 line, coconut becomes like...
acceptable. Yeah, it must be the aging of your palate.
Yeah, you start like, eating like almond joys and stuff.
Oh, it's, those are absolutely the worst.
Yeah, you hate them as a child. World. See, you're a child. Yeah. And now almond joys, I'm like, that sounds pretty good. I could use some coconut.
Really?
Yeah.
Debate for just a second. Do you put your Thin Mints, when you buy Girl Scout cookies, do you get Thin Mints? Yes or no?
Yeah, they're my number one.
You're going to ask.
Put them in the freezer.
Gotta put them in the freezer.
Yeah, do you put them in the freezer?
Gotta put them in the freezer.
You have to. That should be like a law when you buy Thin Mints.
They're only good cold.
Yes.
Frozen.
Yeah. Cold. I kind of have the same problem with like the Freezy Pops. Like
yes, they have to go in the freezer.
They're good, but they need like their own freezer that's a little not as cold as the regular freezer, because then they get rock hard. Uh-huh. See, I like the Thin Mints colder than a fridge, but warmer than like rock hard frozen in the freezer.
You gotta get one of the fancy fridges that have like 3 compartments.
I need like basically a wine fridge, but a wine freezer with like the temperature dial. Not just like a 5-4-3-2-1 thing. Well, I need like, it needs to be at 12 degrees Fahrenheit.
Well, my mini fridge in my office, it has like the normal fridge part, and then that's the little tiny freezer up top. That's not quite a freezer. It doesn't really, really freeze stuff.
No, your popsicles won't stay cold in there.
Popsicles won't stay cold. Thin Mints.
Oh, that's a good Thin Mint freezer.
Hold on. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Maybe I have to go to Walmart and get me a mini fridge. Just for the little freezer. My wife would love
but
that.
But stay out of my Girl Scout cookies. I've counted them. If I know one's taken, I'm coming after you.
I'm going to cut little circles out of these coasters and replace the cookies in there.
Just I'm going to throw it in and be like, Paulson did it.
Just like when, you know, you're... dads of a past would put a permanent marker line on the whiskey bottle or whatever.
And see if
you refill it with like a Coke, you know?
We always got it back to where it approximately was. Yeah. Yep.
All right, you ready?
Oh, are we ready?
Rush Ruby Brew.
I think we're ready. Hit that intro button.
I will do that. I don't know why I went NPR on it there for a second. I will do that. ASMR. Welcome to Everything Egg and then some. Presented by Kibble Equipment. A frequently fun, usually informative, and always tangent-filled look into the industry that feeds the world. From cutting-edge John Deere technology to the impact of social media on the agriculture industry, no topic is off-topic.
That was pretty good.
Thanks, buddy. I have a little bit better voice than the last podcast. You know, it's that time of year. The funk's going around. We went to the zoo yesterday. The Minnesota Zoo. Oh, yeah, they're open all year round.
Okay.
And, like, we have a membership because we live, like, 5 minutes from it. So it kind of feels like you're going for free. It's called Solutions as a Service. Oh, boy.
That's a membership.
It's called ZAS. Zoo as a Service.
Yep.
But God, we go to like the penguin booth, and it was Sunday is a big zoo day, I guess. Like, I don't remember what day we normally go, but Sunday is the day to go, I guess. We go in the penguin booth, and it's just like a pile of 4-year-olds just, I was like, okay, Ashley, the penguin area is a cesspool. Let's get out of here. Let's just go outside and look at the monkeys. We don't need to see the penguins.
Don't touch anything.
Yeah. Yuck.
And it was actually pretty nice out yesterday. I went and started looking for sheds in my woods yesterday. So I just went on a little.
Like machine sheds?
No, as in deer sheds.
I thought you were just looking for wild, you know.
Wild machine sheds.
Storage sheds. There.
No, yeah. I was looking for sheds. But I was looking at the weather.
Did you find any though?
No, I didn't.
Oh, that's a bummer.
But a week from tomorrow, it's supposed to be like 65.
Hmm. Well, that's.
So that's the thing.
That would lend.
And it's awful dry. And there's no snow on the ground. I mean, there's way less here than it is over where I live. But
yeah,
not that we have a lot either. It's like 4 inches we got last week.
And it scares me.
Well, that's a lot for Sam.
It scares me.
we better introduce this podcast.
I suppose that probably was a good point to lead into it, that the weather's warming up. And
nice accidental segue there, buddy boy. So it's the regular crew, Kibble Man Sam, that's me.
Other Kibble Sam,
that's you.
That's me.
And?
No.
Boss Man Chris.
No, we got to say it at the same time.
We might just have to start calling him no.
No.
They tricked me into saying it one time.
Say it.
But we have a guest today, a returning guest. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have to get you on. We're going to make sure we keep a list. So if you ever get to five, we'll get you a jacket.
Will it be green or yellow?
Green jacket, gold jacket. Who gives a bleep? That's the second time I've used that joke. So Margot Suter's back.
You bet.
And we're excited to have you back. We're going to talk, about what Sammy said. We're a little bit of spring. Leading into spring. What everybody's kind of doing right now is... getting planners ready. Well, we're kind of planning spring clinics at the moment. Margo, you've been instrumental in planning those. So we'll talk a little bit about how we do spring clinics now versus how we've, we've done them in the past. We've taken a different approach here over the last couple of years. So yeah, you said, what is it going to be 65 next week?
65 next week. And that's scary.
Cause
it is awful early to be this warm.
I don't know if we're going to pay for it but I keep bringing this up. Like in 2009, we got a foot of snow or like 15 inches of snow May 1st. And so, it's not out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
I remember late snowstorms. Like, was it 2 years ago or last year we had snow over Easter?
One of my favorite pictures, I think it was 12 or 13. We got a May snowstorm. And there was a customer that was checking seed depth with a snowmobile because they had already put like 1,000 acres in the ground. It turned out it was the best. It was prevent plant year actually. So the best stuff actually was planted before the big snow.
Yeah. And so
true, it kind of insulates, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. We're totally capable of a good old snowstorm in April.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I am.
This was our first significant snowfall. I think that I had had up, at least that we had gotten up in the Twin Cities. Because it was the first time that I actually got my girls outside. I think the last time it snowed, it was very, very cold. And we only got a couple inches anyways. This time it was like, we could get the sleds out. I took my 4-year-old down probably way too aggressive of a sledding hill.
It looked like it.
Yeah. Oops. Good dad
it's
here.
Like you shove them down and you're like, oh
they're going fast.
Not the best decision.
They're going fast.
Well, she took a hard digger. She did like three barrel rolls into this hard snow.
I was just saying.
And I was like, oh my God, she's going to be crying. Cause she's kind of a fragile flower. My 4-year-old, she's a lot like me. And I forget how bulletproof kids are because she does a massive barrel roll, but she was having fun. So she just pops her up and she's like, again,
yeah,
get me back up the hill.
The snow is not fluffy anymore. No. It is hard as a rock.
Yeah. Cause it's warm enough that it kind of melts and gets crusty on top, which you can get some hyper speeds on a sled.
Oh yeah.
Especially if you're a big cow like me, a lot of downhill momentum.
Momentum is key.
I had a video of me going down the hill. I sent it to my wife and she was like, did the sled survive?
It's been a weird winter, though. I mean, we're still getting phone calls into the support line. You know, normally this time of year, it'd be like operation center type stuff.
Mm-hmm. Guys out mowing hay.
Yeah, guys are boundary mapping. I mean.
Yeah, like it.
Yeah, the boundary mapping. So
that's a huge thing that people more still happening and more and or more.
Starting
even
to
from,
happen.
Even from last year, it was here and there. We got a little bit. But now this year, it's exploded with how many people are redoing their boundaries and redriving them now, which is very, very good.
Well, and a lot of people are doing boundaries because they got 7,000. So we don't have the boundary converter yet for those. And then something we were planning on talking about today, though, AutoPath, we need to have good boundaries for some of that higher level automation stuff. So guys that are getting into this higher level of automation, step one is you got to have good boundaries. So how you get there is up to you, but driving your boundaries is the key.
Yep.
Luckily, we've had a good winter to do that.
Yeah. Like there's guys still tiling in December just before Christmas. And now it's middle of February and guys are out in their gators and tractors doing boundaries.
You guys did a customer visit a couple weeks ago and you were like a little nervous because they're switching from Radio RTK to Starfire RTK.
Yep.
And they operate from multiple dealerships networks. So it's not just us. And you delivered the news that, you got to
redo all your boundaries.
And it wasn't just a little bit. It was a lot.
It was a lot of acres. And they're like, okay, we'll start tomorrow. And we're like, oh, okay. There you go.
Well, just like anything though, like the boundaries.
Because more and more people are using turn automation too. And they're like, if it's their first year with turning automation, I always say to just do it with tillage, with your field cultivator, ripper, whatever tillage practice you have. Cause it's just up and down. You don't have to do any other sequences. It's easy. And you can set up a bigger headland and not really worry about stuff like seed. When you're planting, you want your seed spacing to be correct. Don't have big guess rows, different things like that. So I always say work out the kinks and try it in tillage. And if you really like it and get it down to science, then you can start using it on everything. More and more guys are doing that.
Unless you're doing strip tillage, other conventional tillage, is there's a lot of margin for error.
Yeah.
You can always go over it again.
It's a great place to practice. Yeah.
So.
And you know, what I find is too, when we talk to customers about the conversion to Starfire RTK and the project of mapping boundaries and how that's foundational for so many of our applications, right? That kind of come along with automation. Most of them, if they look at what they have existing today, their boundaries are not that good. So it's like they've been putting off a project that needed to be done on the farm. And now's the time because the technology's evolved and we have the Starfire RTK signal now, and it just makes good sense to do it now. And we got blessed with good weather to get it done.
Yeah.
It's kind of like flossing though. You know, it's important,
yeah,
but then you go to your dentist and they're like, how often do you floss? You're like, oh,
not like, every day. When was the last time you flossed? You did it last time.
The comedian Steven.
Man, I still got a fib a little bit. Like,
oh, once not a week. Every day. When was the last time? 6 months ago when I was here.
Sweet corn and a good steak. Yeah. I don't know. Or a tough steak.
You guys remember the comedian Steven, right? He had that kind of deadpan. Yep. He's like, yeah, I got a crush on my dental hygienist. I eat a box of Oreos before I go to this.
Well, that was, we were talking about that 10 minutes ago when you got all those Thin Mints in your office.
Yeah.
And you were like, well, I could bring them into the podcast. And I'm like, yeah, because we're going to take video of this and we're all just going to have black teeth.
Oh, man.
But the reason a lot of people don't have boundaries, period, too.
Right. Because old technology wasn't boundary friendly.
Yeah.
Or previous, I shouldn't say old technology. That's probably the wrong word. Previous. Yeah.
Legacy.
Yeah. 2600s Legacy. And 2630s. If you were doing section control. Mm-hmm. Your boom went out the boundary. If it was bad, it would shut off, or your planter would shut off. But now on Gen 4 and G5, there's a little checkbox. It's on by default, but you can exclude exterior headlands from section control.
Yeah.
Yeah. And our old boundaries, like that I set up for my dad, I would just do the old drawing tool. I would just draw like 5 feet outside of the field just for that.
That's
reason.
How a lot of it got created, was drawn or over previous operations. Yep. Yeah, which was good for identifying where things were at, but not good for in-field work.
Yeah, and even we've done a lot of conversions from climate or, you know, other tools. A lot of those tools, I know that they had a pretty cool way to create a boundary using the common land units, CLUs.
Yep.
So you'd think that, hey, that's accurate, but still not for machine automation. So we've had people request that we recycle those boundaries. Well, they're not
good enough.
Any good.
Yep.
Or not better.
And the number one reason to do boundaries that's in base equipment is boundary track.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. So if you haven't looked at the options of setting an AB line yet and found the boundary track button in your Gen 4 or Gen 5, that is the reason to do it. And I find more and more people, once you show them that feature of, hey, this is, if you build a good boundary or record a good boundary and you walk or you drive into the field with a 60-foot planter and you hit this boundary track and it puts your line 30 feet over and it mimics the whole.
Mm-hmm. So you don't have to boundary swatch from four different.
That is the reason.
So four different guidance lines. So you have AB curves or adaptive curves all the way around the farm.
Yeah.
So instead of swapping each one for each headland, you can literally just hit that button and it creates it all throughout the field, which is huge.
And today you can, if you have your boundary, you can go in and configure your headland boundaries, which before you've had to do that in the display. Now you can do that in the land tool, right?
In Operations Center. Yep. That just got released.
So that's another preseason planning thing. Mm-hmm. So that's one less thing that you got to do, sitting idling in the field, pushing buttons. Yep. You can do that right in Op Center.
Well, yeah. So I would say the boundary mapping's huge. The Operation Center activities right now, you know, as far as getting products loaded and cleaning up your farm field list, and that makes complete sense to do right now. But if you're ambitious and you want to get your planter hooked up.
What are the most, I mean, because outside of the, you know, make sure you check your pinch points and all that basic stuff everybody's been doing for 25 years, what are the most important things that you need to do on a planter, especially one that's a SeedStar 4, a newer, they have, but they may only have 1 or 2 years of experience with? anything that we need to make sure they do here before spring in their shop that may not apply to old planters that they've always done?
Well, I would say, I mean, one of the beauties of getting into a SeedStar 4 planter, depending on how far you want to, you know, get going, is you can put seed in a single meter, right? And run just 1 meter and do, I mean, it'll give you through your monitor how that meter performs as far as singulation. So, you know, I mean, if you know what seed you got this year and if it's going to work well, I mean, exact emerges are very forgiving on seed sizes and seed shapes, you know, as compared to the past, but you can go to that extent if you got it hooked up, and you probably have to pull it outside to do this part, but
as long as you have a five gallon bucket.
Well, yeah.
That doesn't really fit under the row unit too well. You got to like cut it in half.
Oh, like a Tupperware thing. Do people still call it Tupperware, by the way?
Is there Tupperware parties still?
I don't know.
I doubt it.
My mom, like,
Once again, social media. There's no, like,
I don't know. I use Pyrex.
Chris, get on the Google.
It's a Facebook party. They don't do them in person anymore.
What was it? Happy Chef?
Pampered Chef.
That's what it was. Oh, Happy Chef. Yeah. That was a restaurant. My bad.
Oh, the Happy Chef. They mostly disappeared, but there's still one over in Mankato.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pampered All the chef. Cops hang out there.
Yeah. Tupperware.com. Host a party.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go.
What about Avon? Is that still a thing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh. Is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't.
One of our friends is.
We need to have
big up in the Avon mafia.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. That's a
mafia.
That's a nice way to say that. I was trying to think, is we need to have a Gen Z gal to tell us what do they get together and sell these days. It's not Avon, I guarantee. It's
not Avon and Tupperware.
Well, how come do guys do this type of thing? Get together and have a Tupperware party?
No.
Is there an equivalent for crusty white dudes like us?
I don't know. My friends just bring over different kinds of beer and we drink them all.
I mean, to be fair, like when I was young and, you know, all your friends are getting married and that's when you would have like these Pampered Chef parties or whatever. At least, I don't know. Like it was the excuse to get everybody together. And we mix cocktails and drink wine.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same thing.
Pretty much.
You guys just do it for football and.
Yeah. Good point.
Yep. Sit in the garage and drink beer till 2 a.m.
Hey, you want to just come over and listen to Garth Brooks in the garage and polish off a case?
I got Nickelback cranked up on the stereo. You want to sit in the garage till 3 a.m?
I don't know how we got off on the Avon
thing. Tupperware. You said Tupperware.
The bucket underneath. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, all you need is a bucket.
All you need is a bucket.
Or a Tupperware container.
We got to have somebody that brings us back around full circle. Okay,
tip to all the men. Do not use your wife's Tupperware to catch seed out of your planter. You're going to treat make her angry.
Yeah, that's not good.
Bad, why is it spicy? Bad idea.
Deloused from the insecticide.
This lasagna tastes weird. How long has it been in the fridge? I feel like half of our Tupperware as a kid was, is anybody else just mostly Cool Whip bowls?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So there was, but you never knew, you wanted the Cool Whip. That was the problem.
Yeah, there's 3 containers in the fridge and you go, which one's the actual Cool
Whip? Yeah, there's like 5 Cool Whip bowls stacked up and you got to dig through them all. Nope, that's meatloaf. Nope. That's
there's a commercial on TV right now about turning into your parents. Which insurance company is it? And it, you got to get rid of your Cool Whip containers and your instruction manuals. What else makes you like, I mean.
Old floor mats from cars and things like that.
Oh, that's true. Oh, dang it. I've got like all those things.
Yeah.
Yep. See, I still use the Cool Whip bowls in my garage now for like bolts and stuff.
I do too.
Like when we tore down my old pickup and we tore it down to the chassis, like we swapped out the engine and the transmission, like full tear down because we combined 2 trucks. And then we had a very sophisticated system of Cool Whip bowls. But then you get done putting everything back together.
And you're like, wait, why do we have so many bolts left?
We had
over
a couple bolts, you know, like a couple bowls full of bolts. And we're like, do you see any spot where these are supposed to be? Weight reduction.
Yep. That's always scary whenever I'm working on stuff and I'm like, am I smarter than the engineer and didn't need as much hardware? Or is it going to fly apart when I use it?
It'll probably be fine. So we got kind of the setup though, in shop stuff, right? Another one is obviously your monitors.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of leads into what we're going to talk about as far as spring clinics that are coming up.
So, I mean, John Deere just released their 23.3 bundle. So there's some new software out there that we'd want to consider getting that uploaded. Now it's available, right? So we can get that uploaded on monitors. You have enhancements to the things like automation with AutoPath, implement guidance, turn automation. So you can get that done. If you are, most of these machines are connected with JD Link, pull that out of the shed, run the machine, update it over the air, very simple activities that you can do in the yard on a nice day. So, and then when it comes to getting monitors ready, where I like to start is just getting it unfolded and going in inside the monitor. And we talk about this a lot in our planner clinics. It's called work setup. You get to review the profiles for the equipment, right? You got your equipment profile and your implement profile, or your machine and your implement profile. Get into those and just start verifying the measurements, you know, that everything is working off of. So find your tape measure, get the planner unfolded, and start looking through all those critical measurements. A lot of us just want to, so what happens is we don't do it when we have time, and then we go to the field and we get a lot of frustration in that first day because we didn't do the proper setup, you know, ahead of time. So this is the time to get it done. And that's a lot of what we talk through when we get to a planner clinic, is the things that essentially you have the ability to make this planner work in the yard, check off everything on a list in a yard, and what we call a little bit of a yard start, right? Where I can feel very confident because I can run off the meters, I can do these measurements, I can put the planner down, I can listen to the audible that it's going to make a map, you know, all these indicators, the hey, this thing's going to plant and it's going to make a map and it's going to do what we need it to do in the yard. So that first day when you go to the field, we're not wasting all this time checking and double checking. Now, I'm not saying you're not going to stop and double check your depth and double check your downforce, because you have to do that in the field based on your soil conditions. But
and sometimes it's like just the dumbest little thing.
Yep.
That'll waste an hour when you're trying to get going. Last year for us, and I hate to admit this, but we were trying to yard start the planter, and we were just running it through some grass that we got out in front of the shed and could not get seed to come out of the thing. And everything's checking out right. Like, why isn't this thing planting? The meters aren't turning. Can't figure it out. We thought the hydraulics were backwards or...
I know what you did.
Half width disconnect, both of them were off.
That switch box is pretty darn important.
Yep. So now we got the no G5 with the essentials kit, right? So we're going to have section control. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to use the stupid half width disconnect box anymore.
Yeah, but they have to be on.
They
have to be on.
But we don't have Gary up there flipping them on and off. Yes.
You know, to put some duct tape on that.
Like the light switch in the house. Do not touch this. This shuts off the furnace. So please don't do that.
Well, there's you talk about verifying things on the Kibble Equipment website.
Yep.
If you click on Precision Ag and Resources, there's a lot of guides that you've had a part in developing.
Yep.
For depending on the vintage of your planter. We have combine sprayers out there too that are pretty handy. If you go to one of our stores, we do have hard copies.
Yep.
With some notes pages. There's that. And then there's also a implement receiver measurement form that you can print off and use it to fill out to make sure you got everything set up properly. So yep. KibbleEQ.com.
And another quick plug, if you have a connected machine, which I hope most people do, hooked up to your planner and everything, and you want to verify and have somebody else look at it, call our support line, get one of us, and then we can RDA into your tractor and just go over a couple things with you.
Remote display access. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Go from there.
Yeah. And that's, so you talked about software updates. So 23.3 just came out.
Yes.
What do we run into with electric planters?
So just recently it's been fixed already, but with electric drive planners, if you are going to update software on the monitor, you need to then update the software on the planner. Okay. And we had some early problems with 23.3 with some mismatch there. That's been addressed. So and we want you to update your monitor software, right? Because that gives you more features, more bug fixes on the display and the monitor side and the applications you want to use. So we want you to do that, but that may also require us to get a hold of the shop. We might have to send some remote software updates to the planner, so we're all matchy-matchy again to make that work, you know? So that would be something to be very, very aware of if you're going to start updating that stuff, so.
Yep. Yeah, and we can check that remotely. You know, yes. We can verify, hey, where's that planter at? Do we need to do anything?
Yep.
Today, we can't do this on the planters, but Deere has actually rolled out some things with Equipment Mobile.
Right.
App, where if your machine is connected and it has software updates, they are making it so even farmers themselves can update some of these machine controllers if they're eligible. It's not there on planters yet.
No. But tractors, for example. So if you haven't downloaded Equipment Mobile app, we talk about this at a lot of clinics too. The Equipment Mobile app really complements Operations Center Mobile, and it will essentially, if you've built a, you know, inventory or your machine list in Operations Center, it, once you log in under Equipment Mobile, same login, it pushes your whole farm, you know, equipment list over to that. And then Equipment Mobile really is a place where you can see the status of the machine as far as software. And now we can potentially upload or reprogram software through that app. But traditionally we used it for operators manuals and go-to guides. It shows, it walks you through some, you know, if you wanted to know how to set the planter for corn, you know, how you adjust that meter for corn, it walks you right through that, visuals, pictures.
It's much more like laid out in a chronological fashion of how you would go through the process versus the OM. So two nice things. One, if you use Equipment Mobile, then you don't have to crack the plastic on your operator's manual, which really brings down the value when you trade it in.
Appreciates it a lot.
Yep. It's like opening up a, you know, a box on a, you want it mint condition. Second of all, if you think to yourself, if you're hearing us talk about Equipment Mobile and you're like, I think I might have that app, I downloaded that a couple of years ago, you probably don't have it. John Deere's changed this Equipment app. Plus. Yeah, so you probably Equipment have Equipment Plus or one of the Go apps from years ago where we had a Go app for everything, Go Harvest and Go Till. Equipment Mobile has only been around for about a year.
Yeah.
So if you,
yeah, it came out last spring.
And it is different than Equipment Plus. It doesn't, so you would need to read, you need to download this app specifically. It's cool because the it tailors your quote operator's manual experience to your specific machine, so you're not getting all of the filler stuff that's for all the other configurations. It's just, you know, specific row units and exact rate fertilizer, for example, like those are things it'll target your machine if those are configured on it. So
and yep, pin specific parts, like if you look, you can that's go right sweet into the parts based on your pin. Yeah, you showed there was a demo, just like the filter guides and stuff, like pulling that up real quick. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Parts, very, very easy. The other tool that's in Equipment Mobile as it relates to planters is the ability to do your mobile row runoff. So if you've got a C-Star,
which is what we were talking about as far as yard setting, right?
Yeah, well, exactly. So you have to connect that app to the server that's on the planter, okay, which is done through your Wi-Fi settings. Okay. But once you connect it to the server that's on the planter, then you can essentially go into your monitor. And if you want to run off row one, you get to that screen, that diagnostic screen, tap the mobile option, then it flips over to your phone. And then you can walk out and run off each row and control that from a phone or an iPad from the app. Otherwise, this is a two-person job. It's always been a two-person job, right? You got somebody in the cab to push the buttons while somebody's back here. So
the one fun thing though about that mobile runoff, because you've demonstrated it at clinics, spring clinics, so we always have the planter and the tractor inside. So you start up the tractor and all that. That's not the noisiest part, but when you're trying to stand behind the planter and talk about mobile runoff while the fan is just whizzing. And you're like, and this is how mobile runoff works. You just use your phone.
It is so loud. So I did our first same customer that you were visiting with on Ops Center Mobile Activities preseason. I was out and we helped go through some of the monitors with the operators. So I did my first, you know, mini clinic with a G5. And what I have found with a G5, when it's time to set up your shortcut bars, you just get more buttons, right? And if you are also running an ISO.
Because it's a widescreen.
It is a widescreen. And so I guess I didn't count them. I don't know if you get three more buttons or what exactly you get. But
it was like when they upgraded from like the iPhone 4 to the 5 and 6 or whatever one. You got the bigger screen. You got another row of apps on the screen. You're like, ooh, look at how much real estate I have here.
So then they also were running like an ISO fertilizer system. So what is super sweet is you can actually build a custom page now where you can almost get a full screen map over here, or, you know, kind of what you're used to seeing on the Green Star. I won't use old terminology, the Green Star side of things. And then you can see your fertilizer system on the other side. So the ISO, if you're doing a third ISOs party, just so much more screen space to get it all on one page so you're not scrolling. And that would be my tip too, is when you are laying out your pages, there's a lot of custom pages for a planner. Pick one delete the other ones out of your out of your page. So you're not scrolling through all that stuff, and then just use your app to get in and get out and do what you need to do to make the changes. It just, nobody wants to scroll 5-6 pages to get back to where you were.
Yeah.
One thing I did want to talk about is, we're talking about stuff we do at spring clinics, but we've changed the way we do our spring clinics.
Yeah.
Because spring clinics of the stereotypical spring clinic of the past was, you show up and talk about your pinch points and when to replace your openers and
closing wheel bushings,
parallel arms, all that.
Which I think will still, that's still a part of a planner clinic, but then that's shifted a little bit because of all the technology that is very like planter specific based on vintage. Now with SeedStar 2 and SeedStar 3 and SeedStar 4, and then when SeedStar 5 comes along, how do you do that at a clinic? How do you get the guy with a 7200 conservation planner to listen to Margo talk about setting up your SeedStar 4 home pages and, you know, shortcut bars? And they're like, I still use a CompuTrack 350 or whatever. So we've had to cater our spring clinics a little bit differently. And most of our spring clinics now, we're focusing on SeedStar 4 right now.
Yes.
Because we kind of figure, if you have a 15-year-old planner, you've probably had that planner for a few years, and there's not that much different to getting it set than anything you've had before.
You'll still have a session that you'll walk through where you get to talk to our service techs and, you know, look at the functional parts of the planner. You know, we focus a lot on monitors, getting in, making those adjustments in the cab on the fly, whether it be with downforce or adjusting for something that doesn't look quite right regarding, you know, spacing or singulation. But from a service perspective, that walk around, like, we'll probably talk about pinch points and things like that, but there's exact rate fertilizer that's on the planter. There is pretty sophisticated, you know, hydraulic downforce, air adjust row cleaners, air adjust, you know, pneumatic closing wheels. So, which, you know, we used to have hydraulic systems to drive the planter. Well, now that's electric, right? Electrically driven. So the hydraulics are now going to the downforce. So those systems, they really focus on, you know, once again, in and out of a season, what you need to do to maintain that, and take care of that system properly. And then the day to day, when you walk around the planter, the things you should be checking on or making adjustments on, you know, for the best performance. So even, you know, the shop talks a lot about a little bit different things than what they used to.
Yeah, so that's where the clinic has shifted a little bit in that way. But we still have pulled pork sandwiches.
Yes, we do.
Or whatever.
I think we should go back to hot dogs.
No, because everybody complains about
Blizzies.
It's only a hot dog this year.
Well, you can't have too good a food though at a clinic, because then people are just going to show up for the food.
Yeah, I know, but we still have like customer appreciation days at specific stores and things like that. So there's still opportunities for, like, say if you have you had a 7,000 planter finger pickup and you're moving to a vac planter with hydraulically driven, like, there's still customer appreciation days and there's still good resources out there pre-spring, so you can still come in and learn about that stuff. We're not discouraging people from to not ask questions and get more knowledgeable on their equipment. It's the big clinics that we're having now are just so technology focused, where some of the older stuff, you still have the opportunity to learn. It's just not at that specific clinic.
My favorite clinic story, when I was in Pennsylvania, a lot of small tractors. So they had tractors when the 1025 R's were just coming out. So we had tractor clinics and it was like a tractor rodeo. You know, you could drive a tractor, and they were cooking the hot dogs and the hamburgers, like right next to the main entrance of the store. Guy pulls up in his big Crown Victoria car, parks right in front of the door, blocks the entrance, leaves his wife in the car, comes in, grabs 3 hot dogs, goes back out to the car. They eat them. Just sit there and eat them. And then he comes back in and grabs 3 hamburgers and a box of chips and just leaves.
Yep.
Didn't drive a tractor at all.
A tractor at all.
That's why you got to have a Colt with a lot of pockets.
Yeah. So you just start shoving hot dogs and hamburgers everywhere.
Like, I've got this Carhartt coat. It's my snow blowing coat, basically. But it's got pockets up here. There's 2 sets of pockets down here. You wouldn't believe how many.
You could make out with a bandit.
Yeah, how many glizzies I could fit in that coat. But when you see a guy getting a hot dog and he's not putting ketchup or mustard on, he's like, that's a pocket. That's a pocket dog right there.
That's a pocket dog.
That one's for the road. When he brings tinfoil with to wrap it up.
Yeah, that's when you know.
That's a pocket dog. So one thing I did want to do before we wrap up this podcast was something that we did on the showdown in Kansas City, but I cut out because you didn't say it quite right. But you were talking about Tractor Wars, the book by Neil Dahlstrom.
Yeah. So there's a really cool book, if you're into history, called Tractor Wars. It's by Neil Dahlstrom. He's the head archivist at John Deere Corporate.
Yep.
So it talks about, and it's not just a John Deere thing. It talks about, he talks about all the history of when tractors were first being developed and all the players that were in the tractor business.
Like back, Ford.
Yeah, Ford. Ford's a big part of that. Ford was the largest tractor manufacturer for a long time. So it goes into all those companies. It's really, really cool read. It's on Audible.
I know people at John Deere listen to this, but I really hope, I want Neil Dahlstrom, that's my dream, is that Neil Dahlstrom listens to this and that he could be on a podcast with us. So, Neil, if you listen to this, get a hold of me at everythingagpodcast@kibbleeq.com.
Well, I'll throw this out. So I've had it on Audible. First person who texts the support line, I'm not going to put the support line number. You're going to have to be resourceful and find it.
Use your resources.
Use your resources. The secret passcode, taco.
Taco. Sam's eyes are closed. He's very...
It's going to be interesting to see how many texts we actually get. Yeah.
We're turning Sam into a radio disc jockey.
First caller.
Caller number 22. That gives me the code taco.
And if you do text in, I will let you know if you're the first, second, third, whatever. I'll let you know if you win.
Yeah, we'll have to put something on social media that it's over, but we'll get you either the hard copy or if you want the Audible version to listen to. It's really good.
Yep.
That's our first contest.
Yeah, that'll be good.
It's like a game.
That'd be awesome.
We should start implementing games.
And I will give the ticket right to Chris, and then Chris will personally thank you for texting into the Sports Center. There you go. Mm-hmm. Now put it back on your plate.
But it is really, really good.
I'm going to have to read it or listen to it.
Yeah, listen to it. I don't like reading. It's 2024. We don't need to read anymore. Have someone read to you.
I can't remember the last time I read a book cover to cover.
How do you get that gig? Just read the book?
You got to be a voice actor.
Yeah. I am
available. If you need somebody to read books,
man,
and tell me what tone you want it. Like you want it in a sultry tone? Depends on what kind of book.
I want every single audiobook I listen to, no matter what genre it is or the plot or anything, I want it in your Monster Jam voice the entire time.
It's like a children's book. And the little red tomato was self-conscious about the way he looked to the other vegetables on the farm.
Exactly. Well, that's what I want.
Isn't it ways where you can record your voice for the turn-by-turn directions and like...
What a prank to play on your kids. Why does it sound like my mother?
Oh, that's perfect. Jackson, driver's head right now.
Yeah. Oh, start recording everything. Be like, what's going on?
My mom here.
Well, what do you think, buddy?
I think that was a good podcast. We should wrap her up. And
yeah, so if you want to follow us on social media, we are at Kibble Equipment. I am at Kibbleman Sam. You are at?
At the other Kibble Sam. And don't forget to rate us. Please rate the podcast 5 stars.
Rate the podcast 5 stars because Sam needs to buy more Girl Scout cookies.
I blew all my money on Girl Scout cookies, and I won't be able to make my rent payment. So
Rent?
No.
I thought you owned your house.
I own my house, but yeah.
Mortgage.
Same difference.
You are at Chris Horob on Instagram and at Horob, H-O-R-O-B, on the X.
Correct, yep.
Margo's on Facebook.
Yes, I am. Yes.
And don't forget, if you want a hard copy or the Audible copy of Tractor Wars, go find our support center number, text taco with your first and last name, and then whoever does it first will get you that book.
Maybe even second.
Maybe. And we'll sign it. If you want a hard copy one, we'll sign it on the inside.
Oh my God. How narcissistic are you?
I think we're way more
reserved for the author. Maybe.
I think we're way more famous than we really are.
It was like when we were at, it's imposter syndrome, but when we were at Farm Fest and we had Larson Farms there and everybody had Larson Farms sign their hats. And then some kids would come up to me or adults, I guess.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, can you sign the hat too? And I'm like, I'm not Larson Farms. So I'm like, do you want me to sign it underneath or something? They're like, nope, right next to Chet there. I'm like, okay.
Okay. Yeah,
they're hedging their bets. Hopefully you become mega big time.
Whatever you want. Nope. Well, I haven't yet. And I'm getting old, so it ain't going to happen.
Well,
I'm only getting uglier and less entertaining.
All right. Let's end this thing.
Yep. Well, see you later.